Good morning once again and welcome to Studies in the Gospels, heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAlea, your host for this program, which is a weekly look at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we are continuing our look at Jesus' last days with his disciples. And we are in the midst of here for the last few weeks. We have been looking at the Jesus' farewell discourse. And so I hope that you'll stay with me for the next few minutes and let's spend this time together in God's Word today. Now, today we're going to be looking at John chapter 16. So let's get right into our text for today. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Nevertheless, because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said amongst themselves, What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you come forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because my Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." John chapter 16 provides us some of the most important information in the Scripture regarding the Holy Spirit and His work. The Holy Spirit and His work is the source of much controversy in this present age. But that should not be the case, for God is not the author of confusion. The Holy Spirit was essential to the work of the apostles in carrying out their ministry. So now let's first notice from chapter 16 this morning that Jesus must depart before the Holy Spirit would come. Verse 1. "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble." Jesus points out that he had told the disciples that these words had been for the purpose of helping them not to stumble or fall from grace. He wanted them to be fully aware of the difficulties they were going to face. In verse 2, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service." Jesus points out that they will be persecuted to even death by people that think they are on God's side and helping God. The modern mindset today is moving in the same direction. Just think of the defenses that people give for homosexuality, abortion, and other evils. And they claim this is what Jesus would want them to do. Jesus tells his apostles to be prepared for this very thing. Verse 3, "And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you." Jesus was soon going away, and they were not anticipating this, in spite of their being told repeatedly this was going to happen. Verse 5, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." The disciples were sorrowful as they hear Jesus say that he would be leaving them. They were expecting this trip to Jerusalem to be for him to take the throne of David and rule from Jerusalem. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus always spoke the truth with his disciples. He tells them it is to their benefit that he returned to the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit would come with Jesus' departure, and that was to the benefit of the disciples in their appointed ministry. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus informs them of what the role of the Holy Spirit would be. The Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit would instruct the world in righteousness and judgment. Jesus and the Father would send the Holy Spirit because of their love of those who faithfully follow. In verse 12, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus still had many things to discuss with the apostles, but they were still not ready and lacked the understanding that would be needed. However, that day was fast approaching. The approaching day would occur at Pentecost when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and given all truth by the Spirit. Then they would have the understanding. Notice Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus continues now to reveal the work of the Spirit in verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. We learn that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is God. He is 100% deity. His work is conjunction and in harmony with the things of the Father and of the Son. The Holy Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit will guide into all truth. The Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority. The Holy Spirit will speak what he hears. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit will glorify Christ. The Holy Spirit will declare to you the things of Christ. The Holy Spirit will declare to you the things of the Father. The Holy Spirit is God. What a blessing for the apostles that the Holy Spirit would tell them the things of the Father. He declared all truth to the apostles and gave them the complete revelation of God. There is no need for any more revelation. And there will not be any more from the Holy Spirit, because he has already given us all we need. The word is complete and thoroughly furnishes man even today. Back to our text now, verse 16. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he is saying. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and a little while again you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Jesus said that they would not see him for a little while. We find the apostles confused by this statement. They did not understand that Jesus was referring to the 3 days in the tomb that he would not be seen by them. After this, they would see him again, and this would be reference to the period from the resurrection to the ascension. Jesus knew they were not understanding, as we see in verse 19. They were apparently afraid to ask Jesus what he meant. Notice that Jesus, in verse 19, points out two reactions that are soon going to occur. The disciples will mourn and rejoice later. They will rejoice, the world will rejoice and later mourn. Jesus uses the example of childbirth to explain. A woman goes through great pain and sorrow in the birth process, and that is replaced by great joy upon the delivery of the child. Notice verse 22. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Their sorrow would be very short, and following would be the joy that no one can ever take away. Verse 23, And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. The means for the disciples to learn of the kingdom until this point had been to ask Jesus questions and to listen to his teaching. The Holy Spirit was soon going to give them all the answers to spiritual matters. They would now soon be praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Prayer is always to the Father and in the name of Jesus. Many people attempt to pray to Jesus or the Holy Spirit, but this is contrary to what Jesus taught and contrary to what the Holy Spirit has revealed. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you come forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus had taught them mostly in figurative and parabolic teaching. When the Holy Spirit descended upon them, they would have complete and clear understanding. The Spirit would give them the words to say in any circumstance. Verse 27 points out that God the Father loves us because we love Jesus. In verse 28, he said, "I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." Jesus points out that he came from the Father and that he would be leaving to return to the Father. Now consider a reason for Jesus to return to the Father. How about John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus was making things much more clearer to the disciples as he instructed them now, as we see in verses 29 and 30. His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Jesus warns them of the difficulties that lay ahead for them, and that it would be easy to become shipwrecked in their faith. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Jesus knew that they would desert him at the end, but he also knew the Father would be with him. And finally, In verse 33, we see a great encouragement for the disciples. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. As Christians, we can be of good cheer, whatever betide. Jesus has overcome, and we can overcome with him by the power of his blood. Truly, the greatest joy to be found is the life that is in Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for joining me today. Great lessons for us from Jesus' farewell discourse in John chapter 16. I hope that you'll join me again next week at this same time for another edition of Studies in the Gospels, if the Lord wills. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So, until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.